This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello friends and welcome along to the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with the Sky Blue Tavern. My name is Dean Atkinson and I'm joined this evening by seemingly everyone's favourite Ross in the world, Ross Cooper. How are you, my man?
I'm doing very, very well. Dean, the fairly decent Ross is what I want to be called.
Well, you're quite the talk of the town at the moment.
Am I?
Well, seemingly. There's not been an official vote or anything, but like you've beat the likes of Ross Spence, Ross Kemp. I think you've even beat Ross from Friends as the world's most eligible Ross.
Well, I'll take that. But to be fair, it's so weird. Whenever I say to people, they're like, "Oh, I'm Ross." They're like, "Oh, like from Friends." And you know, I've got to be honest. I've never watched Friends. So
sorry, what?
I know. Never watched Friends.
That's the end of this week's Sky Blues Extra podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. What? You've never seen one episode of Friends?
Well, obviously, I've seen it. Like, it's been on, but I've never sat down and and watched it. It's one of those things. I spend my time on YouTube watching the 0506 Coventry City season review.
No, it sounds like you spend your time on Sky Blues Talk, to be honest.
I do, to be fair. And for all you Sky Blue Talk users out there, pleasure engaging the other day.
But you don't have 34,000 messages like a certain person spouting nonsense. I don't think you spend that much time on there, do you?
No, I try and put it this way. I'm sort of like quality over quantity in terms of when I input on there. You know, if I say something, I want it to be, you know, meaningful. So, but yes.
In other words, it's a fucking cesspit. That's what it really is. That's my opinion on it and its users.
Well, it was in the summer. It was in the summer. You know, any transfer window, then everyone gets a bit panicky, don't they? Yeah. So,
well, talking of panicking, I gave a little bit of panic last night when I walked into Nando's and I saw you tried to make your way over to Carl McFadzie's table. And I thought, oh, he's ditching me for Carl McFadzie here.
Well, I thought, there he was. He walked in, the man mountain himself. And obviously, he hadn't been in the squad against, in the previous game. But obviously, that was the FA Cup. So then back to league action, I thought, maybe would he be on the bench? And then I saw him in Nando's an hour before kickoff. And I thought, with that whole chicken, a couple of sides, I doubt it.
That's not a pre-match meal I've ever seen one.
So, yeah, he looked like he was with an agent, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, and there was obviously a few murmurs going around the sort of the Tesco area that some kind of deal had been accepted with an unnamed Lancashire team. A lot of people thought Bolton because they're looking for a centre-half as well. But it turns out he's actually on his way to Blackburn. Carl McFadzie has departed the Sky Blues, got his contract mutually terminated this evening, and obviously joined Blackburn on a free transfer. And teams back up with Dom Hoyam in the centre of defence. Let's have a word on Carl's time with the Sky Blues. Obviously a fantastic servant. 171 appearances over five seasons, 8 goals in that time. And Ross, he joined us as a 32-year-old, but he's been a bit of a phenomenon in that regard because he's actually got better over time whilst he's been with us.
Yeah, like a fine red wine, getting better with age. And season upon season, he has, you know, improved so much. And from coming in that first sort of League One season, obviously at St Andrews, and obviously he played in the back four when we started that season.
I was about to say, there was a post from Simon Lillibury on Twitter today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it, but he posted the lineup from his first game.
Yes, I was at that game, Southend.
Can you name them?
Yes, I can.
Can you name the 11?
It was Marco Morosi making his debut. Then you had Vankati Dabo making his debut. Michael Rose, Carl McFadzean, Brandon Mason. You had Liam Kelly, Jordan Shipley and Zane Westbrook in a three. And you had Wesley Jabello, Jordi Huwula and Amadou Bakayoko.
I mean, I'm going to cut that in. That's why you're everyone's favourite, Ross. I don't think Ross Spence doesn't know who played last night. Never mind what happened in August 2019.
But I remember, so obviously he started then, and obviously he was, you know, very, very good, as was, you know, everyone that season. Obviously we switched, didn't we, halfway through the League One season to the back five and the wing back formation. And then the first season, the Championship, but again, I think even at that point, there was probably the odd person, an odd fan who maybe thought, yeah, how's he going to make the step up? He'd obviously played in the Championship with Burton and, you know, obviously they'd sort of struggled. And there was the odd little mistake, which I always thought he was really solid, but, you know, there was moments even in that first season, Rotherham away, when we lost 4-0. You know, he had a few mares in there at times. And I remember that really vital game against Bristol in COVID, when we were 2-0 up and he just passed it to Naki Wells. He scored and we thought, oh no. But he then suddenly, he ironed those little mistakes out of his game and he went up level after level. And every season he got better and better. And he was honestly the first name on the team sheet. For me, a lot of games, you know, at the start of this season, the way he finished last year, you'd gone, Carl McFadzean, first name on the team sheet, often wearing the armband as well because Kelly wasn't playing. He was a leader. He loved the club. And I have nothing bad to say about Carl McFadzean.
Well, it just shows how quick football moves, Ross, because like, as you said, 4 months ago, we were saying that someone's going to have to basically rip that shirt off him to get into the team. And then here we are in the end of January with him departing. And it's kind of a mix of sort of grandfather time, really, and the evolution of the team that we've seen this season that means he's now surplus to requirements.
I think it's weird. Like, earlier on in the season, there was this I had this feeling of, well, the way it's happened is the way we as a club and as fans, we'd want it to happen in terms of we've got other people who have stepped up and are keeping him out of the team rather than him leaving maybe at the end of the season and us going, well,
there's
the fast replacement.
Yeah.
With the holes being filled already. And as a byproduct of that, he's found himself out the side. And I think for us that it's good that you've got the likes of Liam Kitchen and Bobby Thomas have stepped up, you know, Louis Binks, Lata Baudière, and they've proven that they can manage, you know, without him. And I always go back to it. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, Ellen Road away, to think we got a point there without Fads on the pitch. I think
that would be unthinkable, really, wouldn't it? Over the last, let's say, 18 months, to go to Ellen Road and say, like, basically, we're not going to play without Liam Kelly and no McFadzean.
You'd have gone game over. Yeah, that's how it felt.
Because there's no leadership there. Yeah.
What do you think to the playoff semi-final second leg? He was that rock. He was absolutely that rock. And, you know, and he got better with his, you know, playing out from the back, his leadership. He made the defenders around him better. Doyle, you know.
I was about to say, he dragged those two young kids through last season. That last 5 months, like, easily, without him there, we wouldn't have been in the position we found ourselves in May.
Unsung hero in that. You know, everyone talks about Jokeres and Hamer because obviously they got the goals and the assists, but he was instrumental in those clean sheets. You know, without him, we'd have conceded a lot more goals. And then we'd have lost a lot more games and wouldn't have made the playoffs. So, yeah, full respect to, you know, McFadzean. He's been a brilliant, brilliant player.
There's been obviously some major moments in Sky Blue as well. Oh. You know, obviously part of that League One winning side, the armband. He donned the armband when Kelly wasn't around.
The goal against Forest on the return to the CBS.
Yeah, and then you got the winner versus QPR in our first season back in the Championship. Yeah. The volley versus Blackpool that springs to mind. Unbelievable technique, and obviously the goal against Leicester this year, where his song was sung for, I think, about 10 minutes.
You know, and him at the end of last season getting on the bus back to the tavern.
Yeah.
After the, but you know, with the fans. I mean, he really is just, you know,
epitomizes a sort of modern day legend, doesn't he?
Yes.
And it's for a number of reasons. Not only obviously the stuff on the pitch, but all the stuff off it. You know, the selfless work with Sky Blues in the community, for example, always seems to take time for fans, for pictures, and his appearances at all the different forums as well. You know, all that kind of means a lot. And that's sometimes you hear the word legend be branded around, but for me, he is a modern day legend in that regard, because he's not just the football stuff for me.
No, it's not. It's everything that, and also, you know, I think when we're in League Two, and obviously we've had, you know, great players relative to where we were in League Two, getting from League Two to League One and League One to the Championship, but we were a penalty kick away from being a Premier League side and achieving the ultimate. And yeah, he was captain of the side, really. You know, obviously, I know towards the end, Kelly got back in, but for that 90% of the season, Fads was wearing the armband. He was an ever-present, never really got injured. I mean, what was that game last season when there's a picture of him with like three players around him on the floor?
Four players on the floor. And he's
some
just
iconic
back.
Moments, you know, and him squaring up with Deeney. And he's the sort of player we want, you know, you wanted in the side. He gave you confidence. He had that sort of, you know, he wouldn't let other people be bullied around him. And yeah, I agree, a modern day legend for the club. And yeah, wish him nothing but the best, and gives me great memories.
Yeah, sad day, but those best wishes can stop on the 27th of April when obviously we go to Ewood Park and he'll inevitably be part of that team. But I'm sure he'll get a brilliant reception that day from the Sky Blue Army. I can't see him ever being sort of jeered and booed like some ex-players will. But
it's the only regret, really, I felt it with Dom Higham when he went, you know, and was soldiering on the eve. We never really got, obviously he's come back a couple of times and got nice ovations, but we've never had that moment of a proper goodbye. And then with Fads, it sort of feels the same, you know.
You kind of got one last night when you were staring at him eating that whole chicken.
Well, I just went over to his table him as he finished.
Took the bones away.
but it'll be the same with Liam Kelly. And because, I mean, earlier on in the season, obviously, again, he started this season playing, you know, also in a new back five. And I thought, well, you know, at the end of the season, you know, contract won't be renewed, but we'll know ahead of time. And then the final home game, he can have a huge send off. And obviously he's found himself not just out the starting 11, but out of the squad. And obviously he wants to play at his age, and you can't blame him for that. And obviously Robbins clearly sees that he's going to struggle to get back in the side. So look, it's the best for probably everybody, but it is a sad day and he will be missed.
You mentioned Liam Kelly. Robbins last night alluding to potentially three outgoings by the end of this transfer window. We're recording this on Wednesday evening, so just over a day to go until it closes. You think Liam Kelly's one of those? Or does the Sheaf injury now sort of stop that from happening?
I think Liam Kelly is probably one of those. Again, he's not been in the matchday squad. I can see him going somewhere, maybe a League One side.
Well, Burton was the one that was mentioned, wasn't it?
I don't think the injury changes Kelly. I think if the fact that he's not kicked a ball for ages, not even, you know, been coming on, I think.
And the
suddenly,
FA Cup games and all that sort of stuff, it all kind of plays into that, spoke
volumes. I think Torp, you know, coming in, you know, and showing some real positivity, you know, Sheaf's a blow, but I don't think that would change Kelly staying.
I think that I'm more sad about that, to be honest, when Liam Kelly does inevitably depart, because obviously we've got a connection with me and Liam.
You know.
Got those pyjamas. I'll have to replace his face on those pyjamas at some point with a new hero of mine.
And Liam Kelly obviously is the man who, you know, is everyone's favourite, you know, meme or, you know, picture to bring up.
I don't think that will go though. I think that will,
of course
that
it won't,
will stay.
No. We interviewed him, didn't we? Me and you. We hosted the players with him. And you know, again, he's someone who obviously he's not gone at time of recording, but, you know, you feel like even regardless whether it's now or at the end of the season, his time is coming up at the club. And again, someone who's taken us from League Two, you know,
I'll probably do a whole episode on him, to be honest. Just recalling my love for him over this period of time. And who do you think the third one might be? Is this the Hawula loan or potential Simon Moore outgoing? Or
Yeah, I think Simon Moore. Huwula.
Huwula. I've got Huwula on the brain now.
I was thinking, sorry.
You know why? Do you know why I've got him on the brain? Because I couldn't work out that last player. I was trying to work out who the last player was earlier, and I was like, who played on the left? And I couldn't remember. But it was Jordi Huwula.
You'd assume Simon Moore or Tavares. Probably. I can't see anybody else going. I'd say Kelly's probably quite likely, I'd imagine.
I think it'd be Kelly and Moore. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Moore sticks around because he's on a nice wage and he's got a nice chunk of contract to see out until the summer.
Yeah.
But it's dependent on him and obviously his chances to go and play football elsewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, that's part of the situation, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting if three do go, one's gone already. You know,
one's coming in, Ross. One is coming in. One, definitely.
Really?
100%. There'll be a player entering the doors of Wrighton over the next 24 hours. There has to be.
Is that just gut instinct or?
It's a little bit of both. Heard something today, but I'm not going to mention it because I'll just get ridiculed on Sky Blues Talk. So there's no point.
It's a goalkeeper, isn't it? That's what you want.
One that preferably doesn't parry the ball around.
Well,
some parry from that deflection last night, by the way. We'll get into that later, but he's got to do better there. With a wry smile. Obviously, you can't see our faces on here, so some in-jokes and stuff might not seem clear.
Translate. Yeah.
Yeah. Such as penalties for set pieces.
But hopefully, I think an incoming, I know, you know, people obviously take what Robin says. He always under-promises, you know, to over-deliver. We need someone in because I sort of looked at the squad and thought, the worst thing that we could do this season would be to have to revert back to a back five because Sakamoto or someone gets an injury and we haven't got enough players to put on either wing. We'll go back to... That could be the... You know, going from the back five to the back four has made our season. And I sort of... My fear would be going back to the back five out of sort of necessity because we haven't got enough wide men, you know, could potentially not break it, but like could ruin the momentum that we had. And we saw that against Sheffield Wednesday in the cup, didn't we? That it was a more disjointed performance. And I wonder whether that has sort of just seeped into the Bristol City games ever so slightly.
Well, it's a stopgap, isn't it? The Palmer on the left kind of situation. He's not a left-sided player.
But Hadji Wright was also not brought in as a left winger because we weren't playing that formation at the start of the season. So you wonder whether a winger makes sense. Someone who could play on either wing to come in gives us that depth that then gives us the option to move Hadji into down the middle if Sims and Godden aren't performing or whatever else. It just gives us more options. I think it makes sense. I would be disappointed if we didn't get a winger in because I think it's glaringly obvious that's what we need.
We did play with those wingers last night. Reverted back to type for that game against Bristol, 4-2-3-1 formation. We kind of discussed on Sunday, me and Andy, that was going to happen. But it was about the personnel selected in the system. What was your thoughts on the lineup last night?
Yeah, no major shocks. Obviously, the goalkeeper coming back in, the back four as sort of expected, Bidwell and Van Avac coming and starting again with Thomas and Kitchen. I expected him to go with Eccles and Sheaf, I think. And yeah, no real surprises, to be honest. O'Hare, Sakamoto back in. Palmer, he has been playing him off the left and he has been doing okay. I guess the one position I didn't know what he was going to do was probably up front, to be honest. I don't know whether he was going to go Sims or Godden. I probably deep down thought he might go Godden, you know, and he did.
And he did.
The love child returns. Yeah, so I'd say the lineup all in all, there wasn't anything that made me sort of really raise my eyebrows.
Yeah, I wasn't completely shocked either. No. I think it was potentially a flip of the coin at the top end of the pitch between Godden and Sims.
I didn't think he was going to be was ready yet, and the same with Torp for him to go. I'm going to start them both. I think
you saw with Wright as well. Like even rusty. When he came on the pitch, he looked rusty.
Rusty.
He was behind the eight ball quite a bit during that cameo 35 minutes or whatever it was. So I think he's going to need that sort of few games to get back into the rhythm of things. Like we got the best out of him once we did that before Christmas. Over that
his momentum's been jolted, hasn't it? You know, that last game, Middlesbrough, he was looking really threatening, and you know, and he'd been on a great run. And obviously it is, he's the sort of player where he needs to be in full flow, and he's just sort of just knocked him back a couple of pegs, but he'll get back on it, I'm pretty sure.
And overall last night, I mean, we sat together, we got captured on the iFollow cameras.
Well, we're winning 1-0 and we all look miserable.
We're depressed.
So I think that sort of sums up.
Tells you everything,
the performance. And I think, listen, I listened to Mark Robbins, and I'm sure everyone listening to this is, you know, pretty much on the same page. I think it was the worst performance all in general since probably the Rotherham away game, which was abysmal. And like Robin said, probably the worst home performance of the season, because West Brom, which, yes, we lost, we actually were playing pretty well. And then Wilson made the mistake and that changed things. And then we didn't get a penalty when we should have. And there was mitigating things around that. Whereas yesterday was just very, very flat, wasn't it? From minute one, in the crowd, on the pitch.
So lethargic. And when we were walking to the ground, I actually felt it in the air. It was weird. I just felt like there was no energy around. It's all very lackluster, wasn't it? Everything.
Yeah, and it was contagious. Like the entire team. It wasn't like it was one or two individuals. Everyone felt it. It was like the entire squad. And I mean, the thing about it was, it earlier on in the season, in previous seasons, 100% would have lost that game playing like that. And there was something, I remember 10, 15 minutes in, I said to you, I said to the other people around us, that there was an eerie feeling about it. I thought we'd giving the ball away quite a lot here.
Yeah.
Everything was very sloppy. Like, even our good, like our star players, like Sakamoto did some really good things. But again, there was a few moments where I was like, just that little sloppiness. And I guess that we weren't, compared to the Leicester game, it was chalk and cheese, you know, and I think it was just, and Robin summed it up, maybe everything about the two games at Hillsborough has just took its toll a little bit. And hopefully we can get that out of our system and we take the point, we move on, and then we need to get back on it, of course, you know, on Saturday.
I think the contagious thing is really apt, because once one person made an individual error, it sort of crept into everybody else's game from that point. And then when one person gave the ball away, we got the ball back, and then we'd give it away again, and then there was a misplaced pass following
and
that.
And there'd be groans, just, we'd all get a bit frustrated.
Yeah, all, you know, that seeps out from the crowd onto the pitch, and the players can feel that 100%. But to me, actually, I'm going to go back to when Sheaf went off. I thought, at that point, we basically signed our own death warrant when Latabodier replaced him. It kind of left us with two defensive-minded players who, don't get me wrong, they are really, really good at that role, but it left us short of any sort of progression through the middle of the pitch. And it's very hard to get out of that, especially from a mindset point of view.
Well, Robbins alluded to it, didn't he? He said in his post-match, you know, playing sideways and backwards too much, so inviting the press on and then not then having the courage to then play between the lines and break it up. Because if you do that, then suddenly you gain confidence and actually it switches it. I mean, I think you're right about Ben Sheaf. I think it's easy. He actually was getting around the pitch. And again, it was very early on. I can't remember what minute it was exactly that he got injured. But
it was the first 15, wasn't it?
It was very early on. Yeah, I want to say like 12 or something.
12th minute, yeah.
But that was a big blow. And I think that everyone went, oh, because also the nature of the injury, we all knew this is 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know. So
that's why he went off on Friday evening. As soon as he made that pass to Torp on Friday, you could see him signal to the bench straight away that something was up. So he obviously felt something, and then obviously
it's been exacerbated.
Gone into this game and it's gone fully this time. So
you are right with the sub. Like, we were all sat there, and I was thinking, you know, it feels like, you know, it'd been a very sort of slow, sluggish sort of start. This is sort of screaming for a Torp. And Latabodier came on and he was playing like a sweeper. He was so deep.
You said when you made this point that seemingly we seemed to have a back five when we had the ball, because one of them was so far back the whole time,
leaving just then one midfield option, because O'Hare was obviously higher up as a cam. And yeah, Latabodier was picking it up at left centre back or between Bobby Thomas and Kitchen, I thought. And he's got the ball. So, like, there's only one option in midfield. They've got at least two centre mids outnumbering Eccles. So then where was the options? And so then as a result, he'd have to go sideways. And it became very passive, didn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And then when Torp came on, it kind of flipped a little bit. But by then, I think the nature of the game, I think we were sort of kind of chasing our own tails at that point.
Too deep into our
own
performance.
You can't get out of that rut. No, you can't. It's so hard to get out of that rut once you're in it. Yeah. The performance was already sort of dwindling.
The goal, I felt, might have done it in the first half, but it really didn't, did it? Like, I thought that might be the... And maybe catalyst. Hadn't gotten to half-time. That might be the catalyst where we go, you know what, guys? Or we get into half-time and we go, that was an ugly performance, but we're 1-0 up here. That's what good teams do. Yeah. So now we sort it out. But I think conceding on the stroke at half-time, any promise that potentially going in 1-0 up would have done, I think we just then got all the wind got kicked out of us again, conceding that.
And it was the carbon copy from the away reverse fixture.
Yeah.
It was literally the same type of cross into the box, and we didn't deal with well with it then, and we didn't deal with it at all. I actually thought it was one of Bobby Thomas's worst games I've seen in a Sky Blue shirt last night. I know a couple of people probably don't agree with that, but I just didn't feel like he had the sort of ruthlessness that he normally has. And the ability.
But I think that comes from the thing we were talking about, that it was contagious. Like
the
sloppiness, 100%. It then seeped into, what it was waiting for is it was waiting for someone to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and do something that then lifted everyone. But everything just didn't come off, did it? Like Palmer would do a nice bit of skill, but then it would then bounce off him just ahead of O'Hare, or O'Hare would do a run.
Trying too hard in a way. Yes. Ross. Sometimes just the easiest and simplest things are the most effective.
I'm sure the listeners would have noticed it at the game. The other thing that was apparent, in stark contrast to the Leicester game, was when Sakamoto had the ball or Van Aebak had it, those two normally are just breaking the neck, overlapping. It just felt like everything felt really forced and that we were just slow to cumbersome. Yeah.
To be fair, though, I think Bristol did, for the majority of the game, sort of shut down that right flank. And that is a major way of stopping
they double up, don't they?
Right? Yeah. But when we did get some joy, we made absolutely nothing of it, really. We put two really good crosses in, and, I'm not going to call them out again, but Matty Godden's performance was pretty lackluster again. Just not in the right position, not gambling, not looking like he wanted it last night. That was what I felt. Like he's been given another opportunity. He didn't look like, one, he wasn't up to speed with things, but he just didn't look like he could be asked, if I'm honest. That's how it felt.
Well, it's sort of, again, it sort of just matched the sort of ambience in the stadium and the atmosphere and the whole team performance. Because like you said, you can actually look, although how overall it was a performance way below our level, there was, like you say, Van Aebak put that great ball across in the first half where it was far enough out that the keeper couldn't get to it. So it was literally, it wasn't like it was too close to the goalie. It was, the keeper stayed on his line, and you want Matty Gon there or someone gambling, to nod that in. And then suddenly you go, oh, you know what? Moment of quality. And then in the second half, we did the same thing. Haji Wright played the ball out to Van Aebak. He put another great ball in, and we sort of spooned the header. But again, if we're ruthless in those moments, we could have easily scored three or four goals, in total with the two that we did. And I thought, well, you know what? I guess there are positives from that, that despite being so flat, we still scored two goals. We could have, had we just been a little bit cuter in certain moments, scored another one or two. And that's,
it would have been daylight robbery.
It would have been, but the other thing is, though, I thought Bristol were...
Yeah, they didn't do much.
They were the same as us, but all their fans I saw on Twitter were raving, going, really great performance against a really top side. I'm thinking, well, a top side, who, that was probably our worst performance in about 15 matches.
Yeah, if you're raving that you're playing that well, then I don't want to see you on a week-to-week basis, if I'm honest.
No, exactly. So I guess that was the only frustrating thing, that had we been on it, I think we could have blown them away, really. Because they're nothing compared to, say, Leicester and other sides that we've played of recent times.
Let's jump at some positives. Sims on the score sheet again. I know it's probably harder to miss.
Has to be there, though. Right,
but
place.
It has to be there. And he keeps himself onside as well from the initial shot from Kitchen. What a strike that is, by the way.
Brilliant.
Just so fierce. I mean, we were right behind it. It looked fizzing in that bottom corner.
Well, it'd be so easy to spoon that. But he caught it so well, and the keeper saw it late because we couldn't see the goalie, sort of thing. It was only late on. So I think a lot of people might go, Bristol fans might blame the goalie, but he did see it very late. But obviously Sims was there and he had to chase it in and scored. And obviously, you know, gave a little bit, you know, back to the supporters.
Yeah, I was about to say, the celebration thoughts. For me, if he's receiving stick from behind the bench, which is what we're led to believe, he is totally entitled to do that back. Like, I'm not to say that I agree with it completely. Mixed emotions on the whole thing, really. The same with Godden for me, with when he put his fingers in his ears. But they're well within their rights to do that and act that way.
I think
he was, from what I was told this morning, he was being singled out by a few people on that side of the pitch.
This is the thing. The difference between, say, Godden's celebration and Sims's one then was, Sims's seemed like it was more, you know, specifically targeted at a small section rather than, like, Matty Godden's when he literally stood almost just, you know, in the area.
Yeah.
It was almost like this is to everybody sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think Sims is, you know, I don't think he for a second thinks that the entire, you know, crowd
is on
of 22,000 last night, but it looked like he was sort of knew
signaling people out.
Yeah. Otherwise, he'd probably run. If you wanted to do it as like a general thing, you'd run towards Singer's Corner, wouldn't you, or something, and be like, and do it across the main stand. So, yeah. I don't mind it. I know Matt Trutwin from Sky, he thinks it's sort of, you know, I'm not offended by it at all. I want Sims to be a huge success. I think he will be, because I think, again, although he's still very raw, I think Robbins and Viviash are the guys to sort of refine. He's got the raw attributes, hasn't he? He's got physicality. He's got power.
He split two defenders and they were both dragged out towards the corner flag. Yeah. And we both said that's what he does a little bit more than Godden, because he occupies defenders a bit more.
But he's got the raw ingredients. And if Robbins can, you know, refine that, he can be a really, really good player. He's 23, just turned 23. I know there's a lot of stick, obviously, on the forum, on Twitter and all sorts, but I see a player there, but he's clearly very, very low on confidence. Hopefully that goal will help him. But I do think they're on different trajectories. He's still at the early part of his career, Ellis Sims. Matty Godden is 10 years older than the guy, you know, and like he's on a different, you know, trajectory. So Sims is the future. He is. You know, unless we are going to get a winger and then put right down the middle. But they're the options. We've got to get behind him.
I think it's his natural demeanour as well that sort of plays into this, not a facade in a way, but the way people see him. You know, I get a touch of the Leon Best about him. I think he's got a little bit more ability than Leon Best, personally.
But we spoke about this, I think it was me, you and Dave Moore, about Haji Wright earlier in the season and the perception of his body language. But actually, well, yesterday, to be fair, it was rusty, but prior to his injury, he actually suddenly looked like, because he's got that glint now. You know, you can see everyone getting on really well, you know, in training. And suddenly, Haji Wright's body language wasn't then being questioned, because
totally
actually
changed,
you could see him smiling. You could see him, those celebrations against Southampton. And it's like, oh, you know what? He's really feeling it. Well, Ellis Sims needs a run of games and he needs to get a run of goals. And suddenly, I think you'll see everyone will look at his body language differently. I mean, I think it'll come good. I really do.
I'm with you. I'm not completely sold at the moment, but I'm with you on the thoughts that he will turn a corner at some pace. And it might not be this season, but I think long term, I think he's a project, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he sort of develops in time. We need to talk about Collins as well. I got some pelters for my thoughts on him.
Well, I'm here, everybody, from Skyblues Talk. I jumped on. I said to Dean, I'm going to jump on this post Bristol. This is before the game, because, you know, I obviously we have slightly different views. When we discussed it a few, you know, maybe a month, 6 weeks ago about Collins, I can't remember what game it was, and you said you weren't completely sold. And obviously then on the last episode of the pod, you and Andy, obviously, you spoke about, again, not being convinced. So obviously,
you body bagged me on a forum that I blocked off my phone so I don't read it.
Yeah,
I had to unblock it so I could see what you were writing about
But then I knew, actually, I thought, I know what's going to happen now. He's going to have his worst game and Dean's going to be here and like watching him like a hawk. So Dean got a parry count out yesterday, and I still maintain that the very first parry he did, that was a cushion.
But then we start going to an argument of what's the difference between a parry and a cushion? So for this week's Sky Blues Extra poll, we'd love to know what's the difference between a parry and a cushion.
To me, look, there was that long range shot.
I was taking the piss.
Yeah, of course you were. You were.
But
you were.
That's just what I'm not sold on. And I completely agree with people's thoughts that you're never going to get the complete goalkeeper at this level. You just don't. It's, you know, it's part and parcel of players being in the Championship. But it's just something I'm a little bit concerned of with him, is that he seems to cushion the bit. Cushion us. Now you've got cushion in my head. Seems to cushion or parry the ball a bit more before picking it up. That's my only concern. I think if he got that out of his game, got that out of his mind, because I think it is a mind thing more than anything. I don't think he's comfortable in his own mind to grab the ball first time. Gets that out of his game, then we've got a really good goalkeeper on our hands, because his saves are really good. You saw that with the save
the
at the end
at
of
the end,
game.
Where it took two deflections of our own. Unbelievable reaction save. And I think, where I am with Collins, I think he, and it was the first time yesterday in the second half, there was that 20-minute period where the ball looked like it was like flat, where he couldn't kick it more than 30. It was all like, it was like the ball was flat, because, and there was that one where he just delayed to kick it. And there was that was the first time where I've looked at him and gone, I think he's just having a little wobble in confidence just in that period. Because up until then, where I've stood with Collins is, I think he's looked so assured. I've always gone, you know, as fans, you always get nervous when it's been closed down. But I've always gone, you know what? Actually, I trust him. Yesterday, there was a period where I was like, oh, it's like he's just doubted himself a little bit. And he did three or four bad kicks in a row. And I know that's nothing compared to some, you know, other goalies we've had in recent times who could never do a good kick. But
bring back Burge.
But look, I think, he's got obviously a specific style in terms of, say, maybe wanting to parry it down before, you know, from shots. But I think he is a good shot stopper. I think against Middlesbrough away, he proved that he made some great saves there. And I think on the whole, his distribution has been very good. I think yesterday, his performance yesterday was the same as everybody else's.
Remembered by everyone else on the pitch.
It was under par. And that's why it was contagious, because the players in front of him were nervous. So then suddenly it seeped into him. And obviously as a goalkeeper, everything gets magnified.
All comes suckered back to you, doesn't it? It just seems to seep down to you as the goalkeeper.
It's the one that just gave me a little heart attack, which was ball's rolling. And Naki Wells was closing down. And
He
just took so much time. And I remember thinking, please, for the love of God. And obviously at the end as well.
You were saying please for the love of God, because you were thinking, oh, Dean can't be right.
I know. I can't have him have me this week. But then the other thing is, when he rolled the ball out at the end, and I think he was going to kick it long, but he rolled the ball too far, so it rolled out of the 6-yard box. So then he got it back.
Yeah.
But then he played it short to Thomas, and Naki Wells was on him, and then that's how they then ended up getting the ball for the chance.
Just panicking, wasn't it?
We were all a bit panicky then, yeah. We could have easily have won it or lost it at that point.
I'd also drop one of my sweets down the air. Down the stand, so I was panicking as well, because I had nothing left to suck on for the remainder of the game. So I think it all seeped out into the crowd and to me, and just not one we're gonna watch back with any fondness, I imagine. But let's get a man of the match from you, Ross.
Well, I guess this is I've really struggled even on the walk back to the car today. I think I'd go with Sakamoto, because I think, although it wasn't his scintillating best, I think he obviously produced a moment of quality and composure for the goal. And he did show a couple of glimpses second half where he teared down the right wing. And I thought he was going to nick it at the end. I thought he was going to bend that in. So I just think he was probably, out of all the players, probably the least sloppy.
The best ever bad bunch.
Yeah, I'd say so. But I thought he showed moments of quality. And again, he is an exciting player. But, he wasn't at his best that we've come to know from his standards.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Well, let's take a quick look ahead to Saturday's game at Carrow Road versus Norwich. Ross will head into this game 2 months unbeaten. That's a nice way to look at it.
Well, yeah, when you say it like that, that is remarkable. And I mean, the last defeat was when we were, well, in Suffolk, so not that far away from Norfolk. But so hopefully we'll can keep the unbeaten run going, because obviously the table, you know, if you were a Norwich fan, you'd be seeing this as a massive opportunity to, you know, to
close
to
the gap.
Gain.
Yeah, yeah. I am concerned about the amount of draws we've had this season, 11, which is the most in the top 20 of the division. And seemingly a lot of them at home as well, which, you know, isn't great reading. Eight draws at home. So yeah, that's one thing we need to look at. But we are away this week. Not a great place, isn't it, for us to go? Struggled in kind of recent memory. I think the last win was 2009. Maybe
is that the Danny Fox?
That was at Carrow Road.
Yeah. And Jordan Henderson scored as well. Yes,
was that
we
long
don't
ago since we had Jordan Henderson in the team.
Yeah, yeah. The black Casti Stadio kit, Puma kit with a gold
beautiful
trim. Yeah. Last year was a bad one. That was, and even by Mark Robbins, interview after the playoff semi-final, he cited that Norwich 3-0 defeat as a sackable performance. I remember him saying, and that was when everyone was spouting, saying Jokeres and Godden had a fight on the way to the ground and all sorts of nonsense. But look, it's going to be a tough game. But the one thing about Norwich, and I guess I thought about this, I'm more, because of our run record against them, I see it as like a much more scary game than I probably need to. Like, my mind is going, I almost feel as nervous about it as I did like at the prospect of like Leeds away.
I fear for us more than any game of the last 2 months with this one. And I think it's a little bit because it's for some unbeknown reason, we never played well versus Norwich home or away, like from my memory anyway. And it just always feels like a tough place to go. It always feels like they've got a better team than us. I don't think that is the case this year though. So maybe that's the change that's needed.
Well, I think it's a massive game. I think it's the sort of game that if we, you know, we put the Bristol sort of performance behind us and we take the point, I think if we go and produce a performance at Leicester, a Middlesbrough second half, you know, any of the performances from the last, you know, period, you know, 2 months, really, barring Bristol, I think we've got a really good chance. But the perception, again, is like you say, they're a better side than us, Norwich. Do you know what I mean? Because of over the previous years, they've had that pace, they've had that sort of ruthlessness, whether it's been Pookie or whoever else.
And the image of them in the Premier League as well plays into it.
And running away with the league two years out of three, you know, when they're in the Championship. So it's a massive game for us though. And I think if we could go there and get a win,
it'd be a statement win.
It would be a statement win. It really would. And I think that would give everyone humongous confidence going into, you know, Millwall and the other league games to follow.
And obviously they are coming off the back of two defeats, that big one in the FA Cup as well versus Liverpool last week. But before that, 11 points out of 15 for them. So they kind of turned a corner in their Championship season. What's your thoughts on them as a whole, as a team? They've got some good players, haven't they?
I think
Gabriel Sarr is like one of the standout players in this division.
John Rowe, and Sargent. They've got some good players. I think with Norwich, where I see them, and I know, my director actually from the Polar Express is a Norwich fan.
We still haven't seen those pictures, by the way.
Former Norwich City player as well, actually. But he, also I'll speak to him about Norwich quite a bit, and I think their issue is actually their defence. Ben Gibson
feels,
you know,
old.
Grant
feels
Hammond,
old.
It feels, yeah, it does. And I, but I, you look at their attacking threat, and I think if we're not on it, and no wonder they picked up some really good results, because I think they can compete with anyone, I think, going forward. I think if they had a better defence, I think they'd be right up there. You know, I think they've got a decent manager as well. So I see them as a real tricky game.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, they've won 12, drawn only 5, lost 12. Again, that sort of tells you where they are. I think they're as beatable as they are at beating you. I don't know what it is, mate. The perception, I do. I fear
for
this
perception,
game.
Isn't it? It's a weird one, because 9 times out of 10, for me, when I look at the opposition and go, okay, well, this is how we can beat them, and I feel like we're stronger than them in this department. But there's a perception with Norwich that they always seem to be better than you.
I look at their stats, mate. If they weren't Norwich City, if they were called Watford, Hull, anyone else, mate, but they're the exact identical stats to what Norwich have, I'd be going, yeah, we can go there and get a result.
For some reason,
because they're called Norwich City, and our runner, I just have this feeling of like dread.
It must be the Delia Smith factor. It's got to be something to do with her.
Must be.
Putting a spell on us or something with those Coleman's.
But it's about time. It's got to change. I always say with these things, you know, it's got to change. You know, Mark Robbins going back. I mean, I think he'd enjoy, you know, steering us to finally getting a result there. I mean, I remember the COVID year when Biamu equalised.
Yeah. And I thought, yeah, we played well that game, actually. Yeah.
And actually, they got a pen, which was never a pen
never
either.
Pen. Yeah.
And I remember, so we actually played quite well that game.
I got ridiculed on the talk, because we did the live show afterwards. Then I went and watched because Norwich did theirs after we'd finished. So I went and watched theirs, and I put on there saying, oh, you know, on another day, really, the Sky Blues will come away with 3 points here. And they absolutely slated me. I was like, well, yeah, watch the same game then, really, because for the majority of that game, we were in, you know, large amounts of control. And without the dodgy penalty decision, we win this match.
I think how we start this game is big. I think a fast start in Norwich.
Putting the pressure on. I'm about to say about the fans, because they get on the players' backs.
They do
quite
they do.
Easily.
That's what
there
I've been told a lot.
Yeah.
That if we start well and could get a goal and control the match, I think it's a long way back for them. But I think if they start fast and we're not on it, then I really don't see it being a draw. I really see it being either we're going to lose again, like potentially by a couple of goals, or this is going to be the performance and the result where we go, we're serious. We're seriously pushing. We're going to get top six again.
And what about the team thoughts heading into it? Because potentially we'll have one eye on that cup game. It sounds from Robinson's comments that he really wants to do one over Sheffield Wednesday with what's happened with obviously the Palmer incident, etc. So I think he will have his eye on some kind of strongish team going out of that one. So is he thinking of this as a potentially a chance to switch players around and a bit of a free hit in that regard? I don't think he should personally.
I don't think he should.
We've got the squad capable enough to deal with both these games.
I mean, I think looking at the Bristol performance, there was people there who were like completely rested and still didn't look fantastic. So like O'Hare, Sakamoto, really... I personally think we need to, you know, that we've got a squad, and look, if we were to be able to bring someone in, we've got options of players who can play and can perform in both matches. You know, I sometimes think that the sort of changes almost just hamper people. Like we said earlier on about Hadji Wright, what happened? He played game after game after game. And it started clicking. I think someone like Sims, or there's a few players who, to get that form back, just need to play game after game for a few games. You know, because then we don't play until the following Sunday after Sheffield Wednesday. Look, we've got a squad. We can make changes. I think Torp needs to come in. Do I think he will?
No.
No.
I think he'll approach it the same as he did with the Leeds game.
I think that
will be his approach to this game, personally. And then hope to nick it with half an hour to go.
I can see
how I think he will. That's how I think he'll line up.
Because I feel like Robin shares the perception that we have of Norwich as well. Because he said it. He's sort of been like, you know, we don't do well against the East. Do you know what I mean?
So he's deflated before we even kick the ball.
You know, I could see that. I could see a very... So what would that be? Latibodi, Aaron Eccles starting?
I think he'll like play a very, very sort of rigid five in midfield.
Yeah. I think you could, I think you'll see Sims and O'Hare as like... And Sakamoto is like probably
as the
only
second
place. And then De Silva will play a lot in front of Bidwell.
Yeah, I
agree.
Yeah, that's how I think he'll go. And I wouldn't be against that, to be honest. And let's see. I mean, even against Leeds, did we go 1-0 up and then he made the changes?
We equalised. And then he made the attacking changes.
Attacking changes. You're like, well, is this a Newmark Robbins? What's someone done to him? But I think that's how I think he'll approach it. And I'm not against it, to be honest. Okay, prediction. Let's kind of end things on a prediction. I'm going to go for a 2-1 victory. I think we'll turn the tide and keep it going. And then inevitably
get
knocked
out. Well, I said a minute ago, I don't think it'll be a draw, so I can't go for a draw. No, let's be positive. I don't feel great about it. This is my heart saying this, not my head. Let's go with a 1-0.
Oh, win. Sneaky one. I love it.
I'm just thinking that formation, keep it really tight, and then like another rebound or something to Sims, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Actually, Matty Godden will come on, score, and he'll run right in front of the our
take
fans.
His top off. I'm not leaving under his t-shirt, something like that.
Yeah.
Or just plus one for his extra year of his contract.
Yeah.
He's activating it right there, right now.
Well, he'll take his top off, and underneath, he'll have his 24, but he'll take it off and he'll have 26 on the back, you know, his new squad number. Well, let's go for a 1-0 win.
Nice one, mate. Always good to chat. Thanks for joining me. Big thanks to Sky Blue Army for listening. Have a safe trip down to Norwich as well. Big thank you to the guys and girls at the Sky Blue Tavern for their support, as always. Don't forget to keep an eye on our socials. We'll have our poll up there soon enough for this week. Just search at Sky Blues Extra for that. And we'll be back next week. So we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.